legal question that needs an answer? Listen out to Chester's D Radio to hear from Oliver & Co solicitors on The Legal Show. Their team of experts can help.
This is Chester's D Radio. It's the first Thursday of the month, and that means it's The Legal Hour with Oliver & Co. And I'm very pleased to say this time, for the first time, it's Danielle Williams, who works in the Wills and Probate Department at Oliver & Co, joining me. Morning, Danielle.
Morning. It's lovely to be here.
Is it your first time on the radio?
It is, yeah.
Ever? Did you ever phone a radio station when you were a small girl to enter a competition or anything? No.
It's the first time.
Excellent. Well, you're on many platforms. You're on FM, you're on DAB, you're on smart speakers.
Excellent.
All around the world. So you just relax there. Now, we're going to talk in some detail about making wills, making probate, why you should, what happens if you don't. I guess making a will is one of those things that we all know, if we're lucky enough to own a house or have some savings, that we need to do. But I guess it takes quite a lot of people longer to get round to doing it than it should, really.
Yeah, I think when you talk about a will, it's obviously not a nice subject to talk about, is it? And I think some people tend to leave it until they have things in the family, or it gets to a point where, you know, people are perhaps starting to get a bit older and things like that. But we always say, obviously, you know, once you've got assets, and particularly if you've got children that are, you know, under the age of 18, it's really sensible to be thinking about your will, to be thinking about who you'd like to look after money for those children, and obviously who you'd like to, you know, take care and look after them if the worst was to happen.
Well, I've done mine, and then I changed it a few years later.
Yeah.
So at least it's in place, but it did take me quite a few years of just thinking, oh, I've got a house now, I should really make a will, especially as I don't have children. So, you know, I wanted to make sure it went to where I wanted it to go to.
Exactly.
But it does, you know, I suppose it's one of those things, you associate a will with, you know, death.
The horrible.
I mean, I might as well say the word, because it's coming for all of us at some point, and there's no escaping it, so we might as well make sure all I's are dotted and T's are crossed before.
Yeah, and I think once you've done it, you've done the sensible thing then, haven't you? And you've put provisions in place to look after your family or benefit who you want to benefit, and it just takes that extra bit of pressure off people. Obviously, when the worst does happen, that they've got something in place, that they know that these are what your wishes are, and they can then just simply, you know, carry them out and bring them into effect.
And, you know, hopefully it's decades before the will is actually needed. But what happens when someone dies and you think, well, I know they made a will, but I don't know where it is, and I don't know who their solicitor was?
Yeah, so there's things that we can do at that point. So we can carry out a will search, which is a search which basically contacts a range of different solicitors and asks them whether they've got a will for this person, or if they've got any details for this person in their archives.
Right.
But we would definitely recommend that people do that, obviously, if they're not sure where the will is.
Yeah. So you don't need to sort of put it in an envelope, you know, mark it, when I'm dead, open this and stick it behind the clock on the mantelpiece and leave it there for 40 years now.
No, it's sensible just to let people know. Obviously, we send people a copy of the will once they've signed it, just to keep with their documents, so it can be found, but obviously not found by people just yet.
Absolutely. All right, we'll come back and we'll talk some more in just a moment. It's Danielle Williams, who's a solicitor in the Wills and Probate Department at Oliver & Co. Danielle Williams is here. We're talking wills and probate. That's what she does. And obviously, I suppose everybody knows it's important to make a will if you've got any assets at all. So that's a house and or savings, I suppose. What happens if you don't?
If you don't make a will, Gavin, then what happens is your estate will be dealt with in accordance with the intestacy rules. And that can be what people don't expect. So sometimes when people are married, they think that everything will just go to their spouse.
I thought that.
Which it doesn't.
Does
necessarily it not? No. There's a statutory legacy payment which they receive, and then everything else may potentially be split half between the spouse and half between any children, if there is any children. So I think that's a common misconception there, really, that some people think that, you know, they'll just get everything, I don't need to deal with anything. But also, you know, another aspect to consider is that there might be people who are holding those monies that they've inherited that you don't necessarily want to inherit. So it's always worth setting out what your wishes are, really, in a will.
We said before that song, didn't we, that it's, you know, not the most pleasant thing to think about because of obviously connotations with passing away and dying. But once it's done, it's done. And surely if you've got money, it's peace of mind knowing that when you're not here anymore, somebody you think is deserving of it will get it, as opposed to somebody you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And also we see lots of situations where people haven't made a will, and it can cause disagreements then between the family, because obviously people are expecting to inherit and then they're not inheriting, and it's all just, it gets a bit messy and a bit, you know, more involved sometimes when there's not a will.
Can bring out the worst of human nature, yeah. Can't it, sometimes?
It can do, Gavin, sometimes.
So it's a fairly easy process though, isn't it? You know, I mean, I've made one and then changed it, but most of the work is in your own head, deciding what you want to do with it before you actually go to the solicitor's office in the first place.
Yeah, Gavin, exactly. So what we would do is we work with you essentially, and we have a chat to you about who you want to benefit, your executors and those sorts of things. And because we've got the experience, obviously, you know, we're qualified solicitors, we have the knowledge to be able to guide you and help you in obviously making sure that you're making the most out of your money, and obviously you're considering things that you need to consider, for example, like inheritance tax. So it's always worth having a review.
Just remind us about inheritance tax.
Yeah, so inheritance tax is quite a high rate of tax, so it's taxed at 40%. There's different allowances, and it depends really on what your situation is, which is why it's important to obtain expert advice. Each individual at the moment has a nil rate band allowance of £325,000, which passes free from inheritance tax in the first instance.
So is that per person making a will, or per beneficiary?
That's per person making a will.
Right.
Yeah, so if you're married, the situation is slightly better, because you also have the allowances of the first to die. So you could have up to £650,000, for example. There are other allowances as well that can be set against the property and things like that.
I mean, it sounds a lot of money, but there are houses in Chester worth over £600,000, quite a few, yeah. And actually most of them are worth over £300,000. So you're sort of walking into this tax more or less as a given.
Yeah, and I think some people are finding that they're being, you know, they're having inheritance tax considerations when perhaps they didn't even think that it would affect them, because like you say, you know, the way that property prices have increased and things like that in the
cities like Chester especially have seen the house price inflation.
So it's definitely worth coming in, and we can go through all the assets and have a detailed conversation with people and just make sure that they're aware of everything they need to be aware of.
Okay. Now if you don't leave a will, as you say, you die, it's called intestate, and then, you know, who knows where it's going to go. That process could take a long time. I would imagine it takes a lot longer to deal with a will, or deal with somebody's estate if they've not left a will.
It can do. It depends on the circumstances, really. So sometimes, I know we were speaking about before, if there's beneficiaries and, you know, you're not sure who these people are and the family aren't sure.
Oh, if you're lucky enough to have a millionaire great aunt who died at 98,
So that can take a bit of time, because then obviously we have to instruct genealogists to go and track people down and, you know, find them and notify them. So yeah, it's always best, we say, to come to a solicitor, have a conversation with us, so we can map out the family picture, we know all the assets, and then it's just quite straightforward for the family then.
Great, so you'll take all the notes, you'll put everything that your client wants into a document, into a will, send it out a few weeks later, sign it, and then that's it, you can put it away, job done.
Yeah, so we would aim to get the draft to people within a week, really. And then they can just have a review, come back to us, come in, we go through it with them so they're happy and comfortable with everything, and then we can just get the will signed then.
And obviously life throws up surprises all the time, relationships end, children are born, friendships come and go, when circumstances change, we just rock up at your office again, do we, and take somebody out and pop somebody else in?
So we recommend that people have a will review, obviously, if circumstances have changed, like you say, there's been a separation, or there's been new children that have come along, or a change in circumstances. But we also say generally it's worth having a review of your will every few years, just to check in terms of the law. And I think that's one of the benefits of coming to Oliver & Co, in the sense that for existing clients, we invite them in for a will review. And we just have a chat to them about the will and see if there's any changes, and we don't charge for that will review.
Great, lovely. Okay, well, we'll talk some more in just a few moments. It's Danielle Williams from the Wills and Probate Department at Oliver & Co. Danielle Williams still here, solicitor in the Wills and Probate Department at Oliver & Co. And we've talked about how you go about making a will and the benefits of making a will. Why should we come to you? Why can't we just go to Smith's and buy a £15 make-it-yourself kit?
What I would say is, you've got to be careful, because when you get a standard, you know, formatted will, that is just a one size fits all, and sometimes it doesn't fit very well. So obviously as solicitors, I've done years and years of training, you know, getting that experience. We're regulated, you know, a lot of these wills that you can kind of pull off the peg or go to a different company, they're not regulated, whereas obviously if you come through a solicitor, you've got the benefit that we are regulated, we know what we're doing, we've got the experience, and you know, we have professional obligations to our clients to make sure that the will is correct, it meets their needs, and obviously that everyone's happy and they understand what they're doing, because sometimes people just don't understand with the off the peg wills, and they just think, well, I'll just put this here and that here, but actually that can be quite a big difference. And sometimes, you know, we've seen situations where it's not been clear what the client's intended, the wording isn't quite, it's not up to date, it hasn't got the provisions in that we would include. And it just makes it a bit harder, and sometimes it can cause more problems.
I was going to say, does that make it easier for somebody who's been left out or not inheriting what they thought to successfully challenge the will?
Potentially, yes, because they've not had the benefit of speaking to a solicitor. Because what we do is when we meet with our clients, we draft an attendance note after the meeting, which obviously sets out everything that we've spoken about, that we're happy that that client understands everything, that, you know, they have the required capacity to make a will, and we just try and cover all bases, really.
Is there anything you should do if you specifically want to exclude somebody so that they can't launch a potentially successful challenge after you've gone?
So there's nothing we can do to prevent a claim. What we can do is try and bolster the will. So what we recommend people do is they write a separate letter alongside of their will, which sets out the reasons why, for example, they've chosen to exclude somebody from that particular will. We obviously offer some guidance on the things that people might wish to include in that letter. But that just helps, you know, if it came before a judge, it's just good evidence that, you know, actually I've considered all these people, and it's not the case that, you know,
there's a reason why I left them out. How many wills challenged, and of those, how many are successful?
There are quite a few that do get challenged where there's children that aren't included. I'm not too sure the, you know, the success rates and things like that, because that's more along the lines of a contentious probate solicitor. So what we do is we obviously prepare the will, but if there are any kind of disputes, it then goes to a contentious solicitor, and they deal with kind of the litigation and all that side of things, where it can get quite kind of messy and involved, really.
Okay, well, obviously you guys would do your absolute best to make sure that when a will's drawn up, it's watertight, and there's no scope for it to be undone after the person making it's died. Other services that you offer include lasting power of attorney. Now, I know a bit about this because I've got it from my parents, and you know, I hope to never have to use it, but you know, it's there in case I do.
Yeah, and I think with lasting powers of attorney, there's a common misconception that they are just for elderly people. Now, obviously, we can't know what happens in life. You know, something awful could potentially happen, like a stroke or something like that people aren't aware of. It's always better to have these documents in place. There's two. So there's one in respect of financial decisions and one in respect of health and care decisions. So it's always best to have somebody who you trust that you've appointed that can offer you that help if it is needed in the future.
And you're obviously able to sort that out.
Of course, yes. For people as well. We can help people with that, no problem.
And I suppose it all sort of ties in, you know, you do the whole thing in one go, can't you? It all just sort of ties in if needs be.
We are finding that a lot of our clients are coming to us and choosing just to deal with both in one go, be honest with you.
Well, you might as well get all the nasty stuff out of the way and then, you know,
Then, isn't it? And it's, you know, it's like an insurance policy, so to speak. It's there if it's needed. It's all done and ready.
What about the court of protection? How involved do you get with that?
Okay, so court of protection, that usually comes into play where people haven't put a power of attorney for their financial decisions in place. And then what can happen is it may well be necessary to appoint a deputy. Now, that's somebody who, you know, can deal with your finances for you if you're not able to deal with your finances and, you know, pay bills and things like that.
Lose mental capacity.
And that can often be the case perhaps where somebody is in a care home and there's care fees to pay and things like that. So we do assist with the court of protection process, obviously arranging to appoint a deputy. But that's why we say it's better to put the powers of attorney in place, because, you know, if there's not these documents in place and it's too late to put them in place, then it may well be necessary to go down the court route. And that's a lot more involved. It's a lot more
expensive.
Yeah. Mm. And also, you know, it's a bit more involved for the deputy as well. They have to prepare like annual reports, and it's just more stress, I feel, than if they'd had the powers of attorney in place.
Right, well, we want to avoid all of that, so we want to make this as easy as possible. So to SAPA, lasting power of attorney, get our will written, how do we contact you?
Yeah, so you can contact the office. So the office number is 01244 312 306, and also our email is online as well, next to each of the solicitors' names.
Great. Danielle, it's been lovely meeting you.
Thanks, Gavin.
And who knows, maybe one day you'll be back on the radio again. I hope so.
Maybe.
Thanks very much. Danielle Williams. I didn't like the way she said maybe there. I'm taking that as a no. She's a solicitor in the Wills and Probate Department at Oliver & Co. And their number again is...
01244 312 306.
I told you I'd have you back on the radio a second time.
Got a legal question that needs an answer? Listen out to Chester's D Radio to hear from Oliver & Co solicitors on The Legal Show. Their team of experts can help.